You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. It is Monday all day long, but it's a good looking Monday. And it's a good looking Monday, I guess, unless you're an Alabama fan. That's the only thing I can
do. You had to go.
I'm not,
you know what?
I'm not trying to be rough or anything. I'm just saying.
It is okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. I'm still wearing my Bama hat. I'm still a supporter.
I didn't say
I know you were looking. I could feel it.
You're extremely sensitive this morning.
I may be sensitive, but it's okay.
I'm feeling rather lucky, to be honest, because Auburn goes out there two time zones back and plays at like what, 1 a.m. and squeaks out a really ugly win. Just nothing to it but an ugly win.
But
W is a W in the end. All right, enough of that. Boy, we got off on a tangent there. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. By the way, that was Boomer the Alabama fan on the board right there. Still loving his Monday. All right. Hey, 4 o'clock today. Listen, this is a good get. Glad to say we got a guest coming on 4 o'clock today, Bob Barr. You may recall Bob Barr. He's a former U.S. congressman, a former U.S. attorney during the Reagan administration. He is also on the board of directors for the National Rifle Association. So NRA is speaking out about some things that happened in New Mexico over the weekend. We're going to be talking about that. So all that to say, let's have Bob Barr come on at 4 o'clock today, and that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to his comments. In the meantime, I got a triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper, 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So right out the gate here, number one, I'm gonna take some, I don't know, moment of personal privilege. This is not my dipper per se, but we're not going to be on the anniversary of 9/11, 22 years later, and not talk about it. So there's going to be some discussion about 9/11, but I'll be honest, it kind of segues right into the first dipper. The first dipper is called Let's Stop Pretending. I don't know if any of y'all saw the White House press conference that was done by the president on his G20 tour in Vietnam over the weekend. Oh my gosh. I mean, I have tried not to be the guy who just calls him out all the time, you know, and pokes at things. I mean, I get it. People can be tired. This was awful. This was absolutely everything you don't want from a president. But prior to that, we're going to talk about 9/11. And one of the things I want to cover is George W. Bush. I mean, there were times when I was frustrated with him. I mean, I've never seen a perfect president, but there were times I was frustrated, didn't like some of the policies that came out over time. But I will say this, in the wake of 9/11, he was what we needed. He acted and said things the way we needed, and I compare and contrast that now to what we have in the office. So we're going to talk about that. Number one, triple dipper, let's stop pretending. Number two, been some new developments. I don't know if you saw this. It's like you couldn't write comedy sketches better than this. But apparently, the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, she decided to go on a caravan trip of electric vehicles across multiple states. Didn't quite work out the way they'd planned. We're going to talk about it. EV realities are setting in. That's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, live free or die. The New Mexico governor over the weekend decided, you know what, that Second Amendment is really kind of in the way. She declared a public health emergency related to firearms. What? Yes. And her way of handling it? To suspend the Second Amendment completely, no firearms allowed within the city of Albuquerque. I just don't think she understands. Or then again, maybe she does. We'll talk about that. Number three on the triple dipper in conjunction with that call from NRA board member Bob Barr at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned for all that. All right, Let me jump over to my comments here. And maybe since this is 9/11, maybe this is a topic that we need to talk about. So a lot of times I encourage you guys to don't get down, to get active, to find your role, to find your place, to find your place of empowerment where you want to add to, not just take away. And it's important that we do that. And I'll be honest with you, I love my country, but sometimes it's hard to like it. Does that make sense? Don't get me wrong, I'm a patriot. I love this country. I know what it is. I know what it's capable of. I've also been elsewhere for extended periods of time and have gained a perspective that reminds me how much America has to offer. But I can also get frustrated because my experiences and my deep love of country have also given me a perspective that colors my view. So when I see some of the madness going on in our culture, I don't like it. When I see the largesse of our country being abused at the southern border, I don't like it. When I see fiscal irresponsibility at the highest levels, I don't like it. And when I see outright corruption and questionable motives and decrepit old lawmakers who refuse to get out of the way, yeah, I don't like it. I love my country. Sometimes I don't like it. So what do I do with that? What do I do with the seasons? And trust me, I do believe this is just a season. What do I do with the seasons that ebb and flow and create deep frustrations? Should I sit back and cross my arms and just wait till things get back on track? Should I settle into a constant mode of complaint and bitterness? Do I withdraw from society and take on a hunker-down mode to ride out the madness? No to all of the above. Absolutely and unequivocally, no. I stay in the fight. That's what I do. I cannot abandon my post and allow others to carry the fight and then reap the benefits of their efforts. I cannot take the easier road. I stay in the fight. Speaking of staying in the fight, let me remind you all of a story. You say what you want about Senator John McCain's politics. He aggravated the stew out of me sometimes and should not have ever been our nominee for president in 2008. But there was a part of his life when he had the opportunity to take an easier road and he chose not to. Let me remind you on this anniversary of 9/11 about John McCain, the war hero. You see, McCain came from a military family. His father and grandfather were both four-star admirals in the U.S. Navy. And McCain followed them into the family business and he attended the Naval Academy at Annapolis. McCain chose to be a naval aviator. In 1967, when he was a lieutenant commander, his Skyhawk dive bomber was shot down over North Vietnam. And during the ejection, both of his arms and one leg were both shattered. And he was captured and tortured repeatedly and spent the next 5.5 years in the infamous Hanoi Hilton. If you watched him late in life, you'd note that he couldn't lift his arms above shoulder level because of the injuries he received, partly from the crash and partly from the torture. In a later interview, he described reaching the point of despair after multiple beatings and 2 suicide attempts, and he finally signed a fake confession for his captors, and it crushed his soul. Life sucked for McCain during that period. Any chance for release would be a good one. If they would let him go, that should be the ultimate in improving his lot in life. Well, less than a year after he was captured, McCain's father became the commander of the U.S. forces in the Pacific. And the North Vietnamese, they saw an opportunity to leverage him for propaganda. So McCain was publicly offered an early release. He could go home. The torture and the deprivations would be over. John McCain publicly refused. He stuck to the code of conduct that says that troops must accept release only in the order in which they were captured. And there were men that he was aware of who had been held longer than him. And the North Vietnamese were furious. So the beatings and other brutal treatment followed, and McCain spent the next 2 years in solitary confinement in a windowless 10-by-10 cell. But the men who were in prison with him have fond memories. Retired Colonel Lee Ellis, then one of the youngest POWs, knew of McCain by reputation. Word had gotten out about this admiral's son who could have gone home, but he chose to stay. And retired Marine Colonel Orson Swindle, he became one of McCain's closest friends. He said that the first conversation he had with McCain was actually tapped out in code on the walls of their cells. And it was a dirty joke that made him laugh, despite his surroundings. In March of 1973, 6 years after being shot down, John McCain and his fellow prisoners were all released. And McCain was just 36, but his hair had gone completely white during his captivity. One of the several authors who wrote about his life, a guy named David Foster Wallace, addressed the issue of McCain refusing to leave when he could have, and he said this in his book, quote, Try to imagine that moment between getting offered early release and turning it down. Try to imagine it was you. Imagine how loudly your most basic primal self-interest would have cried out to you in that moment, and all the ways you could rationalize accepting the offer. Can you hear it? If so, would you have refused to go? See, here's the thing, folks. What an amazing example. But we can get frustrated. We can get mad. We can know that we don't know that we know that we know that America is capable of so much better. And then we're faced with a choice. Do we exit stage left and do our own thing and hope the nation we love gets back on track on its own, or do we stay in the fight? Do we recognize that our own needs and emotions might not be the sole factor in the decision of whether or not to stay in the fight? I submit that we must stay in the fight. As surely as McCain refused to go home when he could have, we have to have the same mindset that America will not be better off if conservatives take a wait-and-see attitude. We have to fully engage and make it better, even to the point of demanding that it gets better. I was reminded recently about a passage from Jeremiah 29. Most of us have heard about Jeremiah 29:11, in which God makes a promise to his people that he has good plans for them. But are you familiar with Jeremiah 29, verse 7 from the same chapter? See, Jeremiah 29:7 is a call to remember that where you are may not be where you want to be, but that you are to dig in and work and pray and make it better so that you might be blessed. In that passage, the people of Israel had been taken captive and led away in bondage to Babylon. And Jeremiah, he was telling them that God was still at work and for them to stay in the fight. Depending on which translation you use, it says this. It says, quote, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." The Amplified version of that verse says it this way, "And seek, or inquire for, or require and request the peace and welfare of the city to which I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in the welfare of the city in which you live, you will have welfare." Look, I hope you're catching that. It's not an option. It's a mandate. We are to require and request and to pray for that place where we live. Even when we don't like it. Even when it feels like it's a place of captivity. Because when the place where we live prospers, it's better for us as well. So we have to stay in the fight, y'all. I mean, the stakes are high. The need is so great, but the blessing is so real. And I want my country back, to be honest. So I'm staying in the fight till the fight in me is gone. Let's get her done. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I mean, and John McCain, yeah, he aggravated the stew out of me, but you cannot look back on that time in Vietnam and say that was not honorable service. I mean, it was. And the men who served with him, many of them came to his defense during the time when he ran for president, and they talked about his humor and his care for others during that time is part of what carried him through. And the reality is, he could have left. He could have left, and a lot of people wouldn't have blamed him. But he chose not to. He chose to stay in the fight, and that's what we got to do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.